Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, we have a major, earth-shattering, massive announcement. Nikki?
Yes, it is that time again, Pete Wright. Our monthly planning membership is open for enrollment. GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions, if you don't know already. We've worked really hard here at Take Control ADHD to provide you with a service that not only gives you ideas and strategies on how to plan your day and your week, but it also provides time and space for you to do the work and not just by yourself, but with others who understand and support you. We meet every Monday and Thursday, and there are three different sessions for each day that you're invited to attend. We are dedicated to making this membership to be one that is transformative in the way you think about planning and taking control of your time and schedule. There are so many benefits to the GPS membership, so please be sure to visit our website at takecontroladhd.com/GPS. Enrollment is open now through May 8th. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope to see you soon.
On with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm here with Nikki Kinzer.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pete Wright.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
Oh, hi. It's snowing right now. I mean, legit snowing. Come on.
We had some weather. Snow this morning, too.
Get over yourself, weather. I'm done. We are talking about self-compassion today.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly have no weather compassion.
No.
But self-compassion, I am in search of today. I was reading your notes as I was preparing for this show and feeling like, oh, yes, good. I get to confront some things today.
Yes, that's you do.
Great. That's just terrific.
You are going to be part of this.
It's good stuff. And I think, you know, as always, if it's a skill I haven't yet learned, it's not for lack of trying over the last, you know, 12 years we've been doing this show, 13 years, something like that. And it's possibly one of the most important, skill we can learn for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Living with ADHD. So, here we go. Before we dig in though, head over to Take Control ADHD, get to know us a little bit better. You can listen to the show right there on the website or subscribe to the mailing list, and we will send you an email each time a new episode is released. You can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest at Take Control ADHD. But to really connect with us, jump into our Discord community. Super easy to get into the general community chat channel. Just visit takecontroladhd.com/Discord, and you will be whisked over to the general invitation page and log in. If you're looking for a little bit more, particularly if the show has ever touched you or helped you understand your relationship with ADHD in a new way, we invite you to support the show directly through Patreon. Patreon is listener-supported podcasting. With just a few dollars a month, you can help guarantee that we continue to grow the show, add new features, and invest more heavily in our community. Visit patreon.com/theADHDpodcast to learn more. Thank you, members, for your support. How's the tax thing going? Oh, taxes aren't going well.
No, the tax study hall is going great. We had our first one this last weekend, and I'm not sure on Saturday because I wasn't the one hosting it. Melissa was hosting it on Saturday. On Sunday, though, we had some people show up and it was great. And I actually got my office cleaned, which is a step closer to getting my taxes done, because now that the office is clean, now I feel like I can really dig in, you know, next weekend. It's a process, okay. Pete. It's a okay. Process.
It is. It's a process.
And we're offering it to all Patreon members.
Yeah.
Ugh. So now's the time. If you haven't been thinking, or if you've been thinking about joining Patreon and haven't yet, this might be something that might, you know, encourage you to do it. Get some help.
Let taxes push you over the edge.
Right, right. Well.
All right. Any other news? Do we have any other news to share with folks?
Not right now.
And let's get in to self-compassion. All right, Nikki, this is actually a kickoff to a whole series of self-compassion.
A whole series. I'm so excited. This is a good one.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So where did this come from?
You know, it came from a couple of different avenues, but essentially, I'm going to say it came from a client that I was working with And she and I were working on some coaching stuff. And then she was also working with a therapist around some self-compassion things. And she had shared a book with me that her therapist had actually recommended. And it's called The Mindful Self-Compassion Workbook, A Proven Way to Accept Yourself, Build Inner Strength, and Thrive. And, you know, I've had the book, this isn't going to be any surprise. I've had the book for a while and have not dug into it. Like, it just sits on my desk. And, yeah. But then when we decided to do this, series, I thought, well, what a great way to kick it off before we get our guests to come on and talk about their takes on self-compassion, to dig into this book with you a little bit, Pete.
I'm looking forward to it. I should say I have not read the book, and I have submitted my hold on the book through Libby, and I am on a wait. So I will probably get the book well after we finish this series.
That's okay.
That's my current run with Libby. So I'm excited to learn what you have learned and have you share these insights and poke me, I guess.
Absolutely. And, you know, I titled this show, Why Self-Compassion is Necessary When Living with ADHD, because I think it is such an important subject, because there is such a huge lack of self-compassion with a lot of the people that I work with and have talked to. And when something goes wrong, I will hear from my clients that they immediately blame themselves. And I see this in the simplest thing. Like, for example, I may make a mistake and maybe I didn't send an email to a client. I was going to send them a worksheet or something and I forgot to send it. They immediately think they didn't get it and got lost.
Yeah.
You know, or they'll think that, they put the blame on themselves, and it happens so quickly. Like, it doesn't even, there's no pause. It's just immediately your fault and no grace and very harsh internal conversation and shame, around being, you know, I'm a bad person. You relate to that?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like you say it as if it's like, I don't know. I don't want to say you're saying it as if it's a surprise, but I imagine people who don't have that experience think that that would be a surprise. Why are you so mean to yourself?
Yes.
But I don't, that's not a surprise to me. That's like 8 a.m. Monday morning. Let me find it will take me, I'm a bloodhound for like sniffing out reasons to be hard on myself.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you have a good point. It isn't a surprise for our listeners because they're dealing with it every single day. Like, this isn't something that, oh, I really made a mistake and I feel bad about. Like, these are things that you're feeling all the time, every day, that you're dealing with and battling with. And, so it's tough. And I think that ADHDers are very hard on themselves. And then we have this RSD that kicks in and you can easily go down a very dark spiral. And just to remind people what RSD is, it's the rejection sensitivity dysphoria. We had an excellent podcast with Dr. Dotson who explained this. But essentially, it's being very sensitive to what other people think or say about you. So any kind of feedback, whether it's, you know, constructive or not, you take it very personally. Mm-hmm. And the episodes of RSD can be really intense, but they do pass. So when we've talked about RSD in the past in our show, we talk about that they do pass. You will get through it. I strongly believe that with self-compassion, you're going to get through it much quicker. And that's why self-compassion is so critical for ADHDers, because it is a way to cope with RSD and limiting beliefs that you have about yourself. It's a healthy way that serves you rather than, you know, beating yourself up and continuing this path of shame. And it actually will do more for your motivation if you're supporting yourself versus beating yourself up. And I want to share an example from the TED Talk.
Okay.
So the book.
Like, you want me to play a clip in the TED Talk of the TED Talk?
You don't have to. I'll just explain it because I have my own spin on it.
Sure.
So one of the authors, Kristen Neff, has a TEDx talk, and we'll, you know, put the notes in the show, or the link to the show notes, because it's really good. And she explains how this son comes home with an F, and the parent responds with anger, right? Like, why? Mm-hmm. How did you do this? You should have done this. You can do better than this. I'm so ashamed of you. Like, you're a bad person because you got this F. So mm-hmm. the son, teenage son, is already dealing with his own criticism, and now he hears it from his parent. Right. So now it's like double downed because he feels like complete poo poo. And his motivation of doing anything different or better is pretty low because he's still beating himself up. Why try? Like, I'm going to fail again. I just keep failing. So her example is, now let's say that the parent responds with compassion. So now the parent is saying, I know this is disappointing. How can I help you? How can I support you right now? Mm-hmm. Oh, way different feel. Because now the son doesn't have to sit in his own shame. He can be disappointed because, yes, this is a feeling that's not going to go away. Like, you know, it sucks that you got this F. Mm-hmm. Like, that hurts. Mm-hmm. But with the support of the parent, he might now want to figure out what to do to get a different outcome in the future. He doesn't want to give up. Yeah, he wants to keep trying.
I think where that example strikes me, and where I find it difficult, and frankly, where I find it difficult to sort of challenge that or push that muscle, even when dealing with my own son,
right?
Who lives with this stuff, right? Is that it is so natural to live in this space of self. Of lack of self-compassion, of self, you know, loathing, like you are so convinced, it is so natural, it's effortless. That's really it. It is effortless to be hard on yourself, right? It's very difficult. It is like a high calorie burn struggle to be easy on yourself. And so that's what I'm looking for in not just in this discussion, but in this week, is what is it that we can do to make it easier and more instinctive over time, like to build new habits that are positive towards self-compassion that actually help you break the calcification of you know, self-disrespect.
Right, right.
In the process. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Because what it is, Pete, it's practice.
Yeah.
So if you think of meditation, we think of meditation as a practice. It's something we're practicing. It's not something that you just all of a sudden are an expert. I'm an expert meditator. Like, we don't get that, right? I'm a professional meditator. Wouldn't that be fun to get paid to meditate? But the point is that it's a practice. And this self-compassion is a practice. And so it is being, it's something that you want to start identifying and being more aware of when you're like, when you're beating yourself up, and now what can I do to do something differently? And we'll go more into this as we talk about the core elements of self-compassion. But I think what you're saying is it does make sense because it is a practice. It's not instinct. And it might never be.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe when you're in the middle of the RSD spiral and you're feeling those intense feelings, you know, you may not get to the point of, oh, maybe I should be a little nicer to myself, you know, until you get to that point yourself on your own. Like, we don't know what that looks like.
Well, that's, of course, a great point. And the challenge is, you know, you want to build the muscle so that it expands and contracts before the RSD. So you recognize when you're going into, you know, either RSD or self-loathing or whatever, so that you can catch it. You can put the tools in place immediately before, because once you're in a down cycle, it's very difficult to see that you're in a down cycle. You just feel bad. Right. And so I think that's the real trick. Once you have practiced so diligently to recognize your faults more clearly than your gifts, then it becomes, you become blind to your gifts in a down cycle.
Right. And then depression and anxiety and all of these things that, you know, hold us back. It's not a, it's not a healthy place, right? It's an icky place. It doesn't feel good. So we want,
and it's like, there are so many words. I'm struggling for words because there are so many words for it.
Right.
Like, and the words that I live with, ADHD, anxiety, depression, like those are the things, those are the words that describe this, but it could be any one of them at any given time.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and if you're not recognizing, if you can't see it, if you're blind to it, then how do you even know how to talk about it?
Right. Right. So in the book, the definition of self-compassion, they say that self-compassion involves treating yourself the way you would treat a friend who is having a hard time. Even if your friend blew it or is feeling inadequate or is just facing a tough challenge. Self-compassion is a practice in which we learn to be a good friend to ourselves when we need it most, to become an inner ally rather than an inner enemy.
Yes.
So, Pete, do you treat yourself the way you would treat a friend?
No. I'm a, pardon my French, I'm a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very challenging. I think that is a really challenging thing. And we've talked about that. I mean, we've talked about that phrase on the show before, right? You've got to treat yourself as you would treat a dear friend. And I think that is this is the thing that I know cognitively. Of course, I know I need to be kinder to myself. Mm-hmm. But when I'm alone in this office and I feel like I'm missing a, missing a deadline or not able to produce creative work to the standard that I've set myself, then it's incredibly challenging to sit back and say, oh, right, I need to be gentle.
Right.
I need to be gentle with myself. That's
and we're
going to
practice this because I have some scenarios here
we're
going to practice. But before I get to the scenarios, I want to talk about the three core elements to self-compassion. And again, this is all coming from the book, The Mindful Self-Compassion Workbook. But they go on to explain that there's these three core elements. And the first one is self-kindness. So rather than being critical when making a mistake, we are supportive and encouraging. Perfect example was the bringing home an F, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of attacking and berating ourselves, we offer ourselves warmth and unconditional acceptance. Big one there with ADHD, mm-hmm. because a big part of navigating ADHD is accepting that this is what's happening, that it's the ADHD and not you. You're not a bad person.
Right.
Common humanity, a sense of human interconnectedness is central to self-compassion. All humans are flawed. We all fail. We make mistakes and experience hardship. Self-compassion honors the unavoidable fact that life entails suffering for everyone without exception. And you're not isolated.
Yeah. I have to comment on this one, and I know you have some more in this group, but this is the one that jumps out at me because when I am in one of these, and I'll call them stealing from James Ochoa, dear friend of the show, the storm, it's not just that I'm treating myself poorly, it's that I have a script that I'm constantly fighting to rewrite every decade that I have been an adult that says, not only am I a bad person for not being able to deliver, I don't deserve goodness because of it, right? And I'm saying goodness is a big italics word that could mean anything. Like, of course, I'm not doing well, therefore I don't deserve success. Therefore, I don't deserve, like, what? I can't even conceive of a universe in which I would treat anyone else with that kind of language that I carry around in my head that I'm constantly beating back with a stick. So,
and that's what we have to start really being aware of and challenging.
Yeah.
Because it's not true. It's just simply not true. You may feel that way and the feelings are strong and they hurt. And we'll go into mindfulness in just a minute. That's the other core element. But with the common humanity, I think with ADHD, this is really important in the respect of having community and having a space where other ADHDers can talk to each other and get that they're not isolated. They're not alone. They're not the only one that may be struggling with getting to work on time or how hard it is to, you know, work a calendar or to finish a project or a task. So I think that this is where the common humanity to me is about connection and community and knowing that you're not alone and that no one's perfect. Because this is the other thing that I see with ADHDers. It's very easy to compare yourself to other people. Especially other ADHDers. Yeah. Well, they look like they have it all together. And it's so interesting because I'll talk to clients and they'll say, well, it takes me so much longer to do this. And I'm like, but who are you comparing yourself to?
Yeah.
And then they probably don't have an answer.
Probably the latest YouTube channel on ADHD.
They just feel like it's taking them longer. But there's actually no truth in that because they really don't have anybody else to compare to because no one else does their job exactly the way that they do their job. Right. I guess it'd be different if you're in a factory and you guys have to have like so many, you know, things that have to go out and you have 10 things that go out and everybody else has 30. Maybe that's more factual, but life typically doesn't work that way. And so it's just something to also think about with how you're comparing yourself with others and, you know, what's going on there. Now, mindfulness, I think is really important too, because this involves being aware of moment to moment experiences in a clear and balanced manner. So what that means is it's important to self-compassion because we need to be able to turn toward and acknowledge when we're suffering, to be with our pain long enough to respond with care and kindness. And they go on to say that this is actually the very first step to take is to be present of your mindset to respond in a new way. So we need to be present to respond in a different way. And that's that awareness of this is what's happening. This is how I feel. I feel ashamed. I feel hurt. I am disappointed. I am frustrated. And then, you know, now how do we respond to that in more of a caring way versus such a critical, harsh way. So I don't want to just give you guys these three components and then say, okay, there you go. Do something with them.
That's me.
I thought it might be helpful to talk about these three elements with specific scenarios that are pretty common. I want to get what Pete would say is like kind of the typical ADHD response. And then I want to give you a different point of view that is more self-compassion or compassionate. So you can kind of see the difference. You ready, Pete?
I think it's obvious I am not.
Okay, that's all right. I'm here with you. I'm here to support you, Pete. See how nice that is?
That was so nice.
So nice. Okay. Case scenario A, you're late to work this morning, and when you get in, there is a message to go see your boss. You meet with your boss, and they tell you that you've been late too many times, and it sets a bad example to others in the office, and you need to be there on time. Kind of like a verbal warning of sorts. All right. So you've got this information now. Pete leaves the office. What does Pete think?
Well, Nikki, I think we've known each other long enough to for you to know about me that I'm kind of a nuclear response guy. And so in my head, the very first thing I'd probably do is start working on my resume.
Because you're going to get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what's the point? Like, okay, you know what? You have the data. I've been late too many times. I think we're done. I think we're done. Yeah. I can't. There's no, I mean, the reality is it's just, I'm done. It's over. And I better, and this is it. This is the other thing that I do is it better damn well be on my terms, right?
Yes.
I know he has this, my boss has this on me that I've been late, but okay, I think I think that I can regain some control, which I am sorely lacking in my life, by quitting the job.
Mm-hmm.
How'd I do?
Good.
Was that ADHD
yes,
enough?
You went straight to quitting. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So when I was working on this response, I was really being very mindful about the self-kindness, the common humanity, and the mindfulness, right? Because I really wanted to give the example of how to make this work. And I'm going to share with you the second version of my response. And then I want to share with you what my first version was and tell you why I changed it.
Okay, good.
Okay, so instead of beating myself up, I am going to give myself grace. The last couple of months have been very stressful. We all make mistakes, and this is something that I know is hard for me. I feel anxious about the warning and just feel really bad about it.
Okay.
So the self-kindness, right, comes in. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes mistakes. I know this is hard, giving myself grace, and I feel anxious. Your anxiety is making you go get a new job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just stating the fact that I feel anxious about this warning because, of course, I think anybody would walk away thinking, oh my God, my job is on the line. I think what you're saying is very, very normal. The first response I put in is I had all of this. And then I started to talk about like going forward in the sense of, I think I wrote something like, now that I have this information, you know, I'm going to think about how I can get to work on time or whatever. Like I was trying to put this like action step around moving forward.
Yeah.
And then I deleted it because I thought, no, this isn't about.
That's not the point. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want people to see like, if that's where you go, like you might have to re-edit yourself. Because I did it with both scenarios. I did it with this one and the next one that we're going to talk about, where I almost was like, okay, here's how to, you know, make this better or how I'm going to learn from this. But that's not what this is about. This is just about self-compassion and giving yourself grace that yes, you've been late, but things have also been stressful for you and you recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Okay. Case scenario B. Oh, this is a good one. This may or may not have been a personal example. I don't know. My husband is listening, maybe. You promised your spouse you would finish painting the bathroom, and it's been 6 months since you promised, and the two of you got into a fight about it today. Pete, what do you think? What's the ADHD response to that, you think?
Well, now, if I'm going with the example of my first case response, then we should probably just get a divorce
right?
and burn the house.
Or sell the house or something, timber. Right? Like it's never going to get
right,
done.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll say what it actually is I would probably come up with all kinds of defenses for my inadequacy and then stop talking. And I would go into a deep, deep funk and there would still be no action on the bathroom.
Right.
I guess the other side of it, which may or may not have happened in my own life, is I would go and become like alpha home guy and do a really crappy job of it, but I would paint it, right? I would just get it done. See, you wanted it done, now it's done.
Right.
Right. It would be either or. But in doing that, I would do it. I would be triggered. I would do it until the job was done and I wouldn't eat or sleep. And I would probably poison myself with fumes because I wouldn't take basic precautions. And maybe that is the story of my master bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So again, keeping in mind the three components, self-kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. I know I keep meaning to get to it. It's important to me to get done. I understand the frustration because I feel it too. I honestly am not doing it to make anyone mad. One of the challenges I have with ADHD is starting and finishing projects. I know I'm not alone in this because I've heard other people talk about it. I'm upset and I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's a lot of words that may not be going into your head. I probably could edit that again. But I think that the point is that, yes, I'm feeling frustrated too. I get that why that would make someone mad. This is a challenge. It's an ADHD challenge. Like, let's say what it is. And, you know, you're overwhelmed. You're upset. You're overwhelmed.
I think the challenge with this scenario for me is it goes back to what we started talking about earlier on, which is figuring out how to catch the storm immediately before it happens.
Right.
Like in this case, it would be, how do we approach this difficult subject before we get into a fight?
Yeah.
And some of this deals with being in a clear communicative partnership.
Yes.
And knowing that if you don't live with ADHD, like approaching your partner and saying, hey, can we talk about the bathroom? Because like I'd like to find some solutions to getting done before the fight starts, right? Because it's the shame that'll trigger the fight, right? It's that shame triggers defensiveness, triggers claws out, right? Knives out, beaks bloody.
Right.
And so I want to try to create a universe of understanding with my partner that they frankly need to handle. I need to be handled a little bit.
Yes.
And the job will get done, but it requires a little bit of care and feeding.
That's so true, Pete. And I have to tell you that this scenario happened, but my husband and I did not fight about it. We actually did not fight about it. He came to me feeling bad that it hasn't been done. I've been kind of.
And we should also add, though, like your husband is a former professional painter. Like,
right.
He has the skills, the capabilities. Totally. He absolutely, he's very good.
He's very good at painting. At
a thing that I am terrible at.
And he likes it. He enjoys doing it.
And he likes it. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but he came to me feeling bad that it's been, you know, we have all these different colors, like the,
you've painted swatches?
Yeah. We have swatches and we have like the ceilings all painted, but nothing else. And, I guess it's like wallpaper now. It just never bothered me. So he was the one that came to me and said, I'm really sorry that I haven't done this. But I think you're so right on. And this is going to go into kind of this relationship communication era, right? That, it is important when you understand that your spouse has ADHD or has, you know, some issues around executive functions, whatever that looks like. Like, I understand why it hasn't gotten finished. If I really wanted it finished, then this is what you were saying, Pete, then I could help him figure that out. Like, we could focus on it and say, let's just focus on the bathroom this weekend. What do we need to do? Yeah. Let's make a decision on the color. Let's get everything set up. Like, I could help him with that. And if both spouses have ADHD, you guys can both help each other. I mean, ADHD doesn't look exactly the same in each person. It's different. And you guys have strengths and weaknesses. And so I think that it is a matter of having compassion for yourself, but also having compassion for your spouse who you know this is a struggle for. Same thing with our children. Like, I know that my daughter has a really hard time cleaning her room. She doesn't know where to start. I have compassion for that. I want to help her so that she doesn't feel like she's alone. So I think that the self-compassion, if you can have it for yourself, it also flows into other people too, right? Like, it can be a domino effect.
Contagious.
Yeah, it's contagious for sure. This was great. So takeaways from the audience that I want you guys to think about. First of all, get the book. I really think this is a great book. This is not a book for ADHD, but man, it could be written for one. I mean, it could be written for it for sure. But I think anybody, any human, whether you have ADHD or not, we're not perfect. We all have things that we beat ourselves up for. And this self-compassion workbook really helps us has helped me see those things. And some of the exercises in the book are really good. Some great reflection questions. But for people to walk away, yes, get the book. Identify when an RSD storm is happening. You know, you're in it when you're in it. But pause and breathe, because one of the things we also learned from James Ochoa, one of our great friends of the show, is how important it is to recenter your nervous system. So when you are beating yourself up and you're in the shame spiral, we want to breathe. We want to practice those breathing techniques that he shared with us and any that you might be aware of, because it does help stop that pattern. And then ask yourself, what would I say to a friend if they came to me in this situation? And keep practicing that same compassion towards yourself.
Yeah.
There you go.
How are we gonna shape the rest of the series? What do we have coming up?
Well, the next episode that I want to do is on a particular chapter in this book, because it's all around shame. Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk about that, because I do, as we've said already today, shame is such a powerful and not useful feeling to have when you have ADHD. So we're going to highlight that. But we're also going to have Dr. Sharon Saleen on the show to talk to us about perfectionism. Also not a great self-compassionate strategy. And then we will also have Casey Dixon talking to us too about her take on self-compassion and burnout and some of the things that she sees with her client.
I love these people.
I know.
These are great people to have on the
great
show. So this will be really fun. Well, thank you everybody for slogging through the depths of my lack of self-compassion on this show. This is awesome. Thanks everybody for downloading and listening to the show. We appreciate your time and your attention. Don't forget, if you have something to contribute to the conversation, we're heading over to the Show Talk channel in our Discord server, and you can join us right there by becoming a supporting member at the deluxe level or better. On behalf of Nikki Kinzer, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week on Taking Control, the ADHD Podcast.